gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pardon me, just finishing up my hate mail. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. And there's new pictures of Mama's voice, Max and Fred. Max and Fred. Ooh, who's a two-headed dog in the bed? Look! Okay.
You kind of have to dig for them on your website, but they're readily available at your Facebook page.
Okay. Yeah, go to the Facebook page. I don't understand why they're so far down, but whatever. Because they're not the first dog pictures you see, but they're down further.
Yeah, for some reason, the Pet Airways pictures default to the top. I don't know why.
We don't understand.
Yeah, just go to the Facebook page.
Because I need things to distract me from politics. So look at the doggies. Because, oh my God, this whole tax deal thing, Chris, tearing us apart. Another version for Mama of Torn Between Two Lovers last night. Lawrence O'Donnell ripped Alan Grayson a new one on The Last Word on his show on MSNBC. We'll see where David Bender, our friend in a couple minutes, comes down on this. But even on MSNBC, I mean, Chris Matthews and Lawrence O'Donnell are for the compromise. They're, you know, more the pragmatic wing, and our buddies Ed Schultz and Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann are totally against it. And I was like, oh.
You think that allowed that kind of dissent on Fox News?
I am more in Lawrence O'Donnell's camp in terms of what I think we should do here. And yet, I thought he was a little rough on Alan Grayson. Maybe it's because I love Alan Grayson so much, you know. But he did what he did, and he did it the night before, too. He just, I think he forced even liberals to really back up their arguments. And I think part of it is, what about the real people this is going to affect?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love Ed Schultz, and I love his passion, and I love him saying, let him expire in the State of the Union, take it to the American people, but yada, yada. But how do you know what's going to happen? That would be great if you could get the, but I doubt it. Based on these Republicans, I doubt they're going to cave. In when they're largely in power in January. I mean, this is based on that they have some shame or decency or anything. And in the meantime, I care about these people that mm-hmm. are going to lose unemployment benefits, that are going to have their tax bill go up when we can't afford it. Everybody I know just about is scraping by, you know? And it's... anyway, all right. I told you my last Torn Between Two Lovers, Keith Olbermann and Randy Rhodes. Why can't we all just get along? I don't understand. Oh, my friends are fighting. And I did something for the first time ever yesterday.
What?
I moved one of my Republican brothers' emails from my delete file back into my inbox.
Why?
Because, I don't ever respond, and now I can't help it. Too many of us are engaged in this fight now. I try to leave it alone. I'm like, nope, I just can't. He did the right-wing talking point about we have to have the permanent tax cuts. It's not enough time to plan. Why, a two-year temporary thing? It's too much uncertainty in the business community. We can't possibly. Blah, blah, blah.
It was temporary when Bush put them through. They were set to expire at the end of this year.
Don't even see? You see? I've never moved that letter from my delete file back into my inbox. It's been a couple of days. I'm like, no,
but
I'm going to respond
your
now.
Your brother was in politics. He should know better than that.
You mean in politics in the sense that he lost twice?
Two elections? Sure, he was in politics.
Oh, come on, that was not fair.
Well,
I love my big brother, despite the fact that he tried to hang me. All right. Which is true.
And bury you in the root cellar.
Yes, and he also dug a grave. Just, you can't say that he doesn't prepare. At least his Republican roots were in evidence then. It's like he needed certainty. He needed to know that there would be a grave in which to place me after he hung me. So he didn't need to plan ahead.
His Republican roots in that he wanted to get rid of the weak among us?
Yes. I was the weak.
You were the weak, apparently.
I was younger than him. He was going to bury me in the root cellar after he hung me.
You were a drag on the economy.
Both attempts were foiled by my Republican mother, who is a compassionate conservative. All right. So, can I have some touching holiday story? Here's a progressive, nonpartisan holiday story coming up this hour that I'm very excited about. We need something like this, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
This is what politics is supposed to be about doing good for people. My friend, Dr. Dan, because I still can't pronounce his last name, he used to be my radio producer.
Right.
1,000 years
in
ago.
In New York.
Well, no, in Chicago. In the 80s.
Oh.
Anyway, I reconnected with him because, remember, we had him on. I saw a story in the Chicago paper. He is a famous orthopedic surgeon now, and he does all these surgeries like, for free. He doesn't care if people have insurance. He does like zillion. It makes me cry. He was always a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's another story in this Chicago paper about his. I don't know if you know. Big Mike Williams is his name. He's an ex-NBA player. He was shot several times in a nightclub that he was working as a bouncer after
right.
he left the NBA. He used to play basketball with Dr. Dan. Dr. Dan has helped him walk again. See, I'm going to start crying.
Oh.
But he, you know, went out of his way, got him all this special treatment. They reconnected, and anyway, so.
And Dr. Dan used to produce a fart joke show?
Yes, and he produced my radio. See? There is hope for some of us. Not you.
Well,
it's too late for you.
I have no skills whatsoever.
But we're going to talk to Dr. Dan and Big Mike at the bottom of the hour. But we can wait no longer for David Bender of Ring of Fire to check in, who is our guru. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Stephanie. You know, I love the experience every day of tuning in and learning more about the Miller family.
Yes, it's dark.
It's kind of like the Addams Family, actually,
now that I'm understanding it. Seedy history.
Yesterday I learned that LBJ hit on your mother.
Yeah, my LBJ played grab ass with my mom.
I never knew that.
Yes.
And I was familiar with the LBJ treatment, the famous LBJ treatment, which is, you know, how he got deals done in the Senate. He would put his arm around someone, draw them close, almost as if he was going to bite their neck.
Yes.
And they were so terrified that they agreed to anything.
Yes. Exactly.
So apparently your mother had a vote.
Yes, exactly. So, David Bender, we obviously, you know, this has been an emotional debate. And, you know, the funny thing is. I listen to my friend Ed Schultz or Keith Olbermann, and I totally get their points and their passion. I'm like, yes, I friggin' hate these tax cuts for the rich. And yet, you know, you listen to Randy Rhodes or you listen to Lawrence O'Donnell, and they make good points. I mean, the only thing I'm thinking, David, and I know I'm talking too much. I'm a little worked up. But, you know, you look at all these great things that the House passed, right?
Uh-huh.
But they went nowhere.
Hundreds of them.
Right.
Yes,
so I get the president's point about ideological purity and not getting anything done. We are in a new political reality. Where do you come down?
Look, first off, I also watched with both horror. It's like watching a traffic accident. I watched Alan Grayson, who I love, who's coming with us on the Progressive Cruise, by the way. But Alan Grayson was such a gentleman in the face of Lawrence O'Donnell, who I have to say I think lost it last night. And I have tremendous respect for Lawrence.
Well, Lawrence.
I've watched him a million times.
Let me just say, I think Lawrence O'Donnell is amazing. But I think the other thing is, as you know, like he's very newly a host. And I think what was a little startling is for a host to treat a guest like that. I mean, when you're on
burst a vein on national television.
But when you're on, when you're on as a, you know, you're there as a combatant, as he's been like I have been, as the, you know, you're the opposition.
That's right.
And you're debating a right winger. But you're right. It was a little startling. It was a little like, wow.
And actually, Alan Grayson's poise in the face of all that was tremendous. Here's what it comes down to. Let's really draw this to the essence of its argument, because it is possible in this bizarre universe in which we exist for Randy and Lawrence and Ed and Keith and Rachel. It sounds like our little family.
They are, but that's the thing, David. There's so few of us. We're all friends, you know.
It is possible for all of us to be right, and here's how that's true.
Okay.
It is absolutely true that in the short term, if this deal is not agreed to, if Bernie Sanders gets his way and this deal is not agreed to, then in fact, January 1st, as Lawrence pointed out, the people who are paying 10% will pay 15%.
Yeah.
The very bottom, the people who can least afford it, their rates will go up. Here's what's wrong with this picture. What's wrong is that at the end of the day, if this continues to be the president saying, I am negotiating with these terrorists, with these people who take hostages, which is what the Republicans have done for the last 2 years, if you keep doing this, as we understand, they will take more hostages. They will do this for not only the next 2 years, but for the next 20 years. This is the way they have learned to govern. Someone at some point, and that someone is the President of the United States, and I believe this is that point, needs to say, basta, enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you want
to listen on an emotional level, I love the idea. I love the idea of saying no and letting them all expire and calling their bluff. But I'm just saying these Republicans have no soul. They have no decency.
But see, here's the way you deal with those folks. You make them afraid. They have no fear.
Yep.
There are no consequences. And the bottom line here is that until you force them to pay for this bad behavior, they will continue to display it. And here's, look, let's go back to 1981. The air traffic controllers. Ronald Reagan does something that all of us were appalled by.
Yeah.
He fires the air traffic controllers. You know, planes are going to go down. It's going to be a nightmare. Well, you know what? He got away with it because he was tough. He simply said he was wrong, but he did something.
Well, the whole strong and wrong argument rather than, you know, weak and right.
Here's the case for Obama to be strong and ultimately right. Look, we're now at that question again. Was Obama elected as a transactional guy to make incremental deals, to get little pieces of things done, and frankly get amazing things done? Health reform, financial reform.
Right, but David, my point is we had the majorities. I mean, not majorities like LBJ and whoever had, but what I'm saying is, look at all the great stuff the House got done. The Senate didn't. So that's what I'm saying. Even in the environment where we controlled everything, we couldn't get those actual results for the American people.
But you can, at the end of the day, if you force the Senate, Republicans in the House come January and in the Senate to defend their behavior, which they haven't had to do because there is no filibuster anymore. There's simply the threat of a filibuster.
Okay, so David, take me through what you want to do. Do you agree with Ed Schultz that you want him to say, I'm going to let him expire?
I want the president to say yes. Here's what I want the president to do. I want the president to get on a plane at Christmas time and go to Ohio and have Christmas dinner with an unemployed family who has a son named Tiny Tim. And this is where the president has failed, frankly. The president has not used the bully pulpit. He has not. People say,
right, but you're, but you and the president then are going to be gambling with real people's real lives. That's where I understand what Lawrence O'Donnell is saying. Because you're gambling that in January. So in January, what? He's going to say, I'm sending, you know, I want you to do just middle class.
I'm sending it back. I'm sending it back every day. We are doing nothing until you pass these benefits. We are doing nothing until you do the right thing for the American people, middle-class tax cuts. You want to hold it up for millionaires and billionaires, you go ahead and do it. And every day he walks out to the press room at the White House and says, it's day three. They're still holding the country hostage.
Where I come up against my American president fantasy, because you're right. Emotionally and as a movie, that's what I want to happen. In real life, I don't. No.
To come out and do it. I mean, but the point is, it can be done, and we have seen it, Stephanie. The times. Look, I've heard people say, and I've heard callers on this show say, you know, it's not Lyndon Johnson anymore. It's not Harry Truman. The president doesn't have that kind of power anymore. Garbage.
Even I mean, David, I got to admit to you, I am torn about this. There is that part of me that, you know, when I hear Ed Schultz, when I hear you, I'm like, there is a part of me that goes, maybe by some twist, if that happened, that would be awesome. But I think we live in a reality that...
You have to try it. It has to be done, because the problem is, and look, this is, the president used the appropriate metaphor. It is, you know, a hostage crisis in which the hostage is going to get killed. What happens when they get away with it? They take more hostages. That's only going to continue to happen. Watch it happen on the next major.
Yeah, somebody made the analogy. Don't drop your gun. They're going to shoot the hostage anyway.
Going to shoot the hostage anyway.
All right.
And so you cannot negotiate with these people. It is a larger question of transformational leadership as opposed to transactional.
All right. Well said, as always, honey. I wish I could have you on all morning as usual, but we have to take a break. David, love you madly. RingofFireRadio.com is the website. Thanks again, honey.
Love you back.
Okay. All right. He's see, and then I'm such a Libra. Now I'm on his side.
Yep.
No.
And there's information about his progressive cruise right there at ringoffireradio.com
as
well.
All right. Where do all y'alls come down on this? Let's chew on what David said, because he is brilliant as usual. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 26 minutes after the hour. The president yesterday.
This is going to boost the economy. It is going to grow the economy. It is going to increase the likelihood that we can drive down the unemployment rate.
Are you ready for this goodbye letter from Kayla? The end. Yesterday's show was my last. Your happy clappy capitulation is the end. Obama announces it's now official policy to negotiate with terrorists and flat out says if you want something, hold hostages and you agree. Mm-hmm. I'm on unemployment. Living from check to check, it's my only source of income, and even I'm against giving in to the Republican terrorism on this. It's people like you that get blue dogs into office in the first place.
I think it's a bit much to call them terrorists. Don't you?
Who? No, it is like negotiating with terrorists, the Republicans. No, I do agree, but I don't know what to say about that.
Terrorists,
I mean,
though.
That's a lot of principle. Someone that is on unemployment that... I mean, I don't know, that is going to give up their unemployment, that thinks, I mean, this is, you know, somebody, a Democrat yesterday, Shelley Berkley, a Nevada Democrat, said in this, you know, meeting, said, I am not about to play a game of chicken with my constituents' lives, hoping Republicans are going to blink in January. So, I mean, those are the absolute two sides of the coin we're at right now. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jay in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Stephanie. A couple points. The thing that you and your co-host forget is that most people don't read newspapers. They don't listen to your show.
And what?
So yes, surprisingly. So they have no idea where Democrats and Republicans stand on these tax cut issues, even though you know it and I know it and people on, you know, talk networks know it. Most Americans do not. And the example I'll give you is 2009 was like one of the lowest tax years on record, and only 8% of the public knew that. Everyone thought their taxes were raised in 2009.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? So the benefit of letting these things run out is that if it actually hits people for a month, everybody will actually know that the Democrats and Republicans actually have a difference in philosophy.
I guess so, but I got to tell you, you know, the Republicans of late certainly have been winning the political game. They will blame the Democrats. They will blame Obama and the Democrats.
That's part of the problem. Obama, how many people know outside of your listeners that this House already passed a clean middle tax cut.
Yep.
Nobody knows it.
Yep. Right.
And Obama doesn't really message very well,
nope.
Which is the surprising part. He's a horrible communicator as president. And so I think they really should let them expire, if for no other reason than at least people will know where people stand. Because if voters in 2012 have a choice between Republicans who seem to fight for something and Democrats who always cave in and don't seem very strong and seem wimpy, they're going to pick strong and wrong over weak and wimpy all the time.
Yep, I hear you. I got to say, though... Previous presidents didn't have 24/7, you know, right-wing talk and Fox News. All right, Dr. Dan and Big Mike, Big Mike Williams next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How do I know so much about Santa?
Well, I'm
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Okay. You know what? We need a touching, a progressive holiday story to cheer us all up. Then we'll go back to fighting immediately afterward.
Okay.
We'll go back to tearing each other apart immediately after this. But this is a human story. I just loved at the holidays, particularly when politics has gotten so nasty and so... when it's supposed to be about helping people. My friend, Dr. Dan, I'm going to try his last name, Ivankovic. I never called him that. He was Odie, and I still don't remember why. But he was my radio producer back in the 80s in Chicago. He's become a famous orthopedic surgeon. He does hundreds of surgeries for free every year. He doesn't care if people have insurance. He's been in Haiti helping kids. It's just, he makes me cry. All right, so the same thing happened. We reconnected. I saw this story about him doing all this great work in the Chicago Tribune, as did his old friend, Big Mike Williams. He's an ex-NBA player that you might know. He was drafted by the Golden State Warriors, Atlanta Hawks, Sacramento Kings, yada, yada. Anyway, Big Mike was shot tragically when he was working after his NBA career in a nightclub, paralyzed. And Dr. Dan is helping him to walk again. And the whole story is just, hang on, where's Dr. Dan? I'm going to cry. Dr. Dan! Good morning, honey.
Hey, my dear. How are you? Good morning.
And speaking of crying, I understand that since I came out, your mother is crying that we're not going to get married, as she had hoped.
You know, we were sitting watching you on Larry King, and she's like, isn't that your friend Stephanie? She's so beautiful. Why don't you ask her out? And I said, Mom, she's awesome. I love her. And she goes, she'd be wonderful. Look at her. She's so funny. And, you know, and I said, Mom, I don't know. I think I might be barking up the wrong tree on this one. I mean, we're just friends. We're cool. And she goes, no, you really should. Can I help in any way? I'm like, Mom. And I turned up the volume, and she said,
Oh, that was the show I came out on. She's like, oh, never mind. All right. Well, and I have to thank you, because you don't just help, people you don't even know. You actually sent me a bone stimulator and some electrostimulation machine when I had my broken foot, and now I'm using it for a lot of other purposes, Dr. Dan. I just want to thank you.
Innovative attachments do help in many ways.
Yeah, I shudder to think what you're using it for.
It's not important. He's a helper. All right, listen. We have Big Mike is on the phone here. We have been telling this story all morning, Doc. Big Mike Williams, a former NBA star. Do we got you? Mike, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing?
I am, well, you know what? I am talking to Dr. Dan, who has also changed my life in magical ways. So.
Oh, Jesus. No, not Dr. Dan.
So, Mike, tell us, you were just happened to be watching, like, ESPN, right? And you saw this story about a kid who'd been in the Haiti earthquake who was relearning to walk thanks to the help of Dr. Dan, right?
Yeah, well, what happened, I was injured in Atlanta, flew back to Chicago, and ESPN is one of my favorite shows. So usually what I would do is get up in the morning and turn on ESPN. So right around 4 o'clock, Channel 7 ABC News here in Chicago had a story that they were previewing about this kid from Haiti. And I'm thinking, okay, well, let me watch this. Maybe this guy can help me. So as it turned out, the story came on, and they interviewed the guy, and then they interviewed Dan. And I'm looking at Dan like, wait a minute, I know this guy. Now, keep in mind, we're a few pounds heavier than we were in high school. You know?
Yeah, I love that. I read that in the Trib. That's a good way to get a fancy doctor to help you. Hey, you're a fat bastard now.
I didn't quite recognize him, you know. So... his name came on the bottom of the screen, and I'm thinking, that's a Dan Vlachowicz. Wait a minute, I know this guy. Now, keep in mind, Stephanie, this is like 30 years later, you know?
Right.
And it finally hit me like, that's Big Dan. So I immediately called Channel 7, got his email, and sent him an email, and then he called me right back immediately, and we started... jibber-jabbing with each other right there, and he knew who I was, I knew who he was, and here I am today just because of him.
And you're Big Mike, and he's Big Dan. Dr. Dan, how tall are you again?
6'11".
6'11",
oh
yeah,
my God.
Sure. And Big Mike, how tall are you?
6'9".
There you go.
I'm about 300 at breakfast, about 315 by lunch. By dinner, I'm about 325.
You're a shrimp compared to Dr. Dan, of course, but you know, this story, I mean, first of all, I'm so sorry for your tragedy. You were working at a nightclub in Atlanta, and you were shot several times, correct? And you were paralyzed from the waist down?
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving weekend last year, and I was working, and got shot 8 times, man. And I'm lucky to be talking to you right now. So.
I'll say, Mike. Well, you know, this story, the political climate, which I talk about all the time, has just gotten so nasty. I love this story that, you know, this is what politics is supposed to be about, people actually helping other people. And so what's happened? You've been working. Dr. Dan's gotten you a bunch of help, right? Physical and occupational therapy, all that. And you can take, how many steps are we up to now without the walker?
Well, no, I can't quite go without the walker because I don't quite have my balance yet.
Right.
But with the walker and the help of these guys here where I'm at right now, Big Mike, Arnell, and the whole physical therapy and occupational staff, they've got me up to about 25 steps.
Oh, with the walker.
Because it's kind of, with
wow.
the walker. And it's kind of taxing, you know. I have to use my arms and shoulders, you know, quite a bit. So I kind of get tired, then I have to take a, you know, a 1 minute, 2 minute break, and then they're back at me again. So,
Dr. Dan, that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, the fact that he can take 25 steps even with a walker, that's really incredible.
Well, Mike was one of the most amazing physical specimens back in the basketball days. I mean, when we played together, he was the most intimidating player in Illinois, and he actually was given an award for how intimidating he was. He could bench press 300 pounds. And the fact that, I mean, he was in a coma for 2 months, Stephanie.
Oh,
and when he was
man.
Shot, he was in a coma for 2 months, lost almost 100 pounds. So when I finally got to him, he was so atrophied. The only thing that gave me hope when I evaluated him was that he was able to have some movement in his leg, and he had an incomplete spinal injury. He could feel me touch him on the leg, but he was so atrophied and withered that had he not been a world-class athlete prior to his injury,
right.
there's no way that this would have happened.
I love in the Chicago Tribune you offered the detail of how gross his toenails were, which I...
Yeah, they were.
Definitely. You ought to. I haven't seen Dan's toenails, but I've heard they're like claws.
Yeah. Oh, listen, boys, I got a hammer toe. You would love, but
but you broke your foot, Stephanie. You broke your foot. I didn't get to see it, but you broke it.
Yeah. Well, but so now I love the Bionic Man part of this story is because Big Mike is so big. You're trying to get him a couple of companies to build a robotic exoskeleton with bionic leg braces. How cool is that?
I fortunate to be alive in this era of technology. There's a couple of companies. The primary one we're working with is actually out of Berkeley, California. They're called Berkeley Bionics, and they make a device called the E-Leg. And it was one of the top 50 innovations for the year. And there's another company out of Israel called ReWalk. And what they do is the technology, if you've ever seen soldiers lifting incredible weights, they're like these robotic... devices that amplify the muscle strength, you know, times a factor of 10-50.
Are these like those avatar machines, or is this entirely different, Dr. Dan? I have no medical training of any kind.
I mean, the concept is sort of similar, and I think it's just, you know, there's a brain that would be on his back, and by small motions, they're amplified, and it's a re-coordination of his walking. But he would, right now, they're experimenting with the E-Leg device on patients that are totally paralyzed, that are complete spinal cord injuries, and Mike is incomplete, but because he is so tall and he's so big, he requires a lot of strength and a lot of leverage. So we're working very closely with the company to develop something special that will be custom for him, and I'm hoping that if we get him fitted that he'll be able to ambulate and to walk and get around to take 200, 300 steps at a time.
Can we get it by Christmas, Doc? Because Big Mike, I don't know what you asked for as a kid, but, you know, if you ever thought you'd say all I want for Christmas is a robotic exoskeleton?
Well, no, all I want for Christmas was... Well, hey, all I wanted was my two front teeth, you know?
Well, you know, I hate to talk about the downer side of this, but I also think it's a really important story that, you know, in the Trib, you're saying, you know, you want young men to know what happens to shooting victims who don't die, you know, that in terms of just the destructiveness of senseless anger, violence, whatever, you know, whether it's inner city youth or elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, Steph, it's getting totally out of hand, and I get sick and tired, you know, of being sick and tired of listening to these young kids shoot people for no reason. Now, if I could just make three quick points, and my PowerPoints basically are, number one, save a life. Don't take a life. And you got to keep in mind that your God, whoever you pray to, is watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you are out here robbing, stealing, and killing you know, for no reason. When it's your turn to die, you know, now as Ricky Ricardo would tell Lucy, hey, you got some splaining to do, you know, so you better have a good lawyer, you know?
Yeah.
And then my second point is you have to give to get. Now, Steph, I'm sure that station did not give you the microphone and say, hey, go to work. You had to go to school. You had to give up your time, your effort, your energy. Then you got to where you are today. You know what I mean?
Listen, I had to work with Dr. Dan, and that is no picnic. You know, when I was watching him cut my radio audio tape with a razor blade, I never thought he was going to be a fancy orthopedic surgeon, but...
Well, see, in that case, you had to give up your blood. You had to give up your time for him to operate on you. Now you got to where you are now.
Yep.
And then my third point is whoever your God is, I don't care who he is, you have to pray. Now, I say that because right before I would do a gig, you know, I'm not a big real rah-rah-rah religious guy, but I always pray to myself. And one of the things I had always said, you know, knowing the dangers of my job, I would always say, Lord, take care of me and don't let me die by the hands of a chump with a gun.
Yeah.
And that night, stuff, he came through for me, you know.
Yeah.
I was shot by the chump. Chump had a gun. He shot me 8 times, and I'm here. So he answered my prayers, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank God, Mike. You're, you know, and you're giving so many, right now as we speak, you're giving so many people hope and inspiration. And Dr. Dan, I don't know what to say. You know, while our politicians are in fighting in Washington right now, you know, you've dedicated your life to, you know, these patients forgotten by the system, you know, that are falling through the cracks while everybody fights.
Well, it's just tough because, you know, it's not like the times have gotten better. More and more people are out of jobs. They've lost their insurance. And people that never thought they'd be in a position like this are. And, yeah, I feel committed because this is my career. But it just it is tougher because the resources are more and more limited. And, you know, fortunately, you know, someone like Mike, who is a high-profile person, a lot of folks have been stepping up to the plate, the Chicago Bulls are very interested in Mike doing outreach in the communities. And, you know, through this, we'd like to, you know, get more resources to help people because it's something that we need everybody's help and everybody's got to contribute, whether they're doctors or not. They need to help create awareness. I've got little kids. I've got Boy Scouts that are putting together medical kits for me and helping me do screenings. I mean,
if we had a country full of you, I swear to God, right, Mike? I mean, the fact that he takes time to, he texts and emails me all the time in the middle of doing like 1,000 surgeries a day. Anyone that shows up, he goes, you don't have insurance? Okay. No work, no problem. And then he goes down to Haiti to help people. Just like, what? Are you?
I can vouch for that stuff. Yeah,
he's Gandhi, for God's sake.
You know, he had just got finished with the surgery. He's calling me to check on me. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Well, I got another surgery in 5 minutes. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
I'm like, so oops, I forgot. Right, I already put them under anesthesia. I got to go. Dr. Dan, I know Oprah listens every morning. She's glued to the radio there in Chicago. Just kidding. But I know that, you know, I'm sure this is going to get wider play because you guys are both, you know, just such an inspiration. And just thanks for being you in this holiday season. It's just so nice to have a nice story like this. And God bless both of you.
Stephanie, thank you.
Well,
you know,
thank
I love you,
sir.
And we'll keep in touch. And everything that that you do, I mean, you brought the message out to how many millions more people. So, you know, thank you for all your help. And I know Mike really appreciated it. You know, I love you.
Honey, I yell your name every time I use my electrostimulation machine. Please give your mother my condolences on our upcoming nuptials. But, but I love you. And I love you too now, Big Mike.
I love you too, Steph. And if you don't mind, let me get a quick shout out because I have a ton of people out in LA. I want to say hello to Dolores Baker, 4U Entertainment, Tree, Big L, Big Al, Big Keys, Big Steve, Nick, Mac, Larry, Matt, Turner, Joe, Jamal, Stone, King Q-Boy, and everybody else that had a chance to work with me. And I had a chance to work with you. Love you guys. Miss you guys. I hope to see you soon.
Big Mike, you're coming out, and you're going to see my fearsome hook shot, which was the listen, I was the Catholic League in upstate New York has never seen anything like it.
Okay. Well, just to let you know, I don't discriminate. I treat males and females the same way.
Oh,
I
boy.
Block your shot, stuff.
Yeah, I know. You'll block my shot. With your walker, you'll block it. Big Mike and Dr. Dan, thanks, guys. Happy holidays. All right, there they go. Wow. It's a feel-good story. 49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Well, that Dr. Dan can make you feel like a selfish loser no matter who you are, mm-hmm. can't he? I was telling you, he does, like, I don't even know, a zillion surgeries a week. You know, some for free. People don't have insurance, whatever. In the meantime, he goes to Haiti. He just squeezes in trips to, you know, help the victims of the earthquake. Oh, and he texts me all the time. He was trying to get to my birthday party. Right up to the last second, he's...
Aww.
But, you know, someone would have had to go without a spine transplant for him to dance to Poker Face with me, so he wasn't
spine
able to.
Spine transplant.
He wasn't able to make it. Ay vey. That made me feel better. It's a happy, clappy story about people helping people. Okay, back to politics. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hey, that was a fabulous story. Dr. Dan for president. That's what I had.
God, I'll say.
Listen, I've been listening to everyone over the last few days, and I don't really know if this is a good deal or a bad deal, but I know that everyone is missing the point. And the point is that we didn't have to get to the point of a bad deal, of this deal. And that's because this president has failed to stand up to these bullies for 2 years.
I don't, see, Sue, time. I don't, look it, I, that's, I hear you, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but I feel like that's counterproductive right now when
it
real people are...
It isn't counterproductive. It isn't.
But wait a minute, he urged them to take a vote earlier. So, you know, I'm just saying there
it's
is blame to go around.
This issue. Okay. No, it's not even this issue. On November 18th, when those Republic thugs, you know, decided they couldn't come, they were too busy to attend the meeting, he should have gotten, what David Bender said, the bully pulpit, and gotten up and said, you know, I have important work for the president, for the American people. The Democrats are here, I'm here. The Republicans, let's see what they're doing. Oh, my God, let's see, McConnell's giving a speech, yep. and John Boehner's getting more orange on his tan.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, he could have. He could have said, this is a disrespect for the office of the presidency.
Exactly.
Yes, you're right,
you
he could have.
You don't have to like me. But that goes back to, you know, he pre-negotiated away the public option, and every time he did that, he got zero in Republican support. So every single time...
But he did get health insurance for 30 million people, as opposed to the couple million the public option would have affected,
But you know what, Steph? He's like the guy who has a bad day at work and comes home and yells at his children because he feels impotent to yell at the people who are really making him crazy. And the fact is, he is the leader of the Democratic Party. He is the leader.
Right, but Sue, let me just get a word in here. So, look
sorry.
At us. We're being torn apart after the Dr. Dan story. Look at us, and we're friends. You brought your baby to a bar to see me.
And this is close and personal. Just mention, my son's been unemployed for 2 years, mm-hmm. and God help me, I need him to have benefits. I don't want him moving home.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
So
go ahead. You're at point.
Okay, yeah. Now I've lost it.
my point simply is that it never had to come to this point. It's not right. just about whether
yeah.
they had voted on this prior to the election garbage. It's about the fact that he could have given it a fair 6 months. He could have spent 6 months. He could have even spent the first year of his presidency.
Okay, but my point is...
I have done everything.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, he did have... He had some harsh words for Republicans and also for some Democrats. But, Sue, you and I think, share the same frustration that in many cases it was Democrats that foiled him on things. It was those friggin' conservadems. And here we are again, by the way. You know, we're held up by friggin' Esmeralda on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's like our whole life is sucking up to Susan Collins to get one vote because we can't even get some conservadems.
In this case, he's also being held hostage by Harry Reid, who says it's not going to go through like you proposed.
Well, because the Republicans have said they're not going to vote on anything unless you get the tax cuts done. So the other thing, Sue, is I think he's trying to look at the bigger picture of getting Don't Ask, Don't Tell and START done, which are both all really important.
But, But again, while his executive order power doesn't give him the right to nullify Don't Ask and Tell, he could have issued an executive order on day one that just said, stop prosecuting it. Just back down until we change the law.
If you listen to the congressman we had on yesterday, it has to be done. It is a law. It has to be overturned by Congress. I'm sorry I raised my voice. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Carl Frisch on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. See the new pictures of Mama's dogs, Max and Fred, in the bed. Guess what?
What?
They're on my computer, and that's why I have Carbonite. Because you can't get them to do that again. They look like a two-headed dog. Do what I do. Back up all your important computer files and pictures with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today, right now. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
You want to see a picture of my kitty?
No. Okay. Scott in Ithaca. Right. Steph, Lyndon Johnson, I know he beat your dad with a low-class nuke ad, but he said something amusing about himself that can be paraphrased and applied to President Obama. Obama could walk across the Potomac today, and the headlines tomorrow would say President can't swim. Scott in Ithaca. Thank you, Scott. I know, that's true. And my hate letter for this hour from Al. A fine American. You can dissent or whatever. We don't care. I'm too drunk. I don't care if you agree with me or not.
Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep on missing the point, Stephanie. Go down with the ship. I'm shocked at how easily you either fooled so many of us or switched sides. Because I have an opinion on this tax deal.
Because it's a side different
thinking,
from him.
Keep thinking you and Randy and Hal Sparks can hypnotize the millions of us backstabbed by your Obama. Oh, now he's my Obama. Now he's not everybody's president. Okay. Please be honest and stop calling yourself a progressive as long as you support Obama, who is not, unless you start allowing the vast majority of progressives to be heard on your show. Yeah, because we don't have any progressives on the show.
No.
What? Many of us are going to place you in the Randy Rhodes box and focus more on real progressive hosts. No one puts my baby Randy Rhodes in a box. Listen to me, sir. You can turn me off, but don't.
Have we had Dennis Kucinich on the show?
Yes.
Oh,
we've had him
did.
On briefly.
Right. Yeah.
What's your point, Jim?
I don't know.
We had Adam Smith on the show. What are you talking about?
We had Adam Smith on earlier,
right.
And
we have
really
Bernie
took the president's
on.
Right.
We had Alan Grayson into a regular segment.
David Bender agrees with me about Lyndon Johnson and Harry Truman.
No, he doesn't.
How do you know?
We didn't have the same majorities, and we didn't have 24/7.
Yeah, but you cut him
Fox
off.
News.
He said that was.
Oh, he was talking about the Lyndon Johnson had a habit of getting someone in a headlock.
No, that was a different part of them. Anyway.
He had huge majorities. The President Obama doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Juanita in Cincinnati,
you're
on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, and President Obama is black, so that's another dimension of people
hating. Yes, so, there is irrational hatred in some quarters that I don't know how else you describe it. But go ahead, Juanita.
I say let the bill pass, then come January, change the filibuster rules. Make it way down so we could break the filibuster, then introduce an amendment to like force it to go to reconciliation, strip out the tax breaks for the wealthy, and then it should pass.
Well, if they haven't done that with majorities in both houses, then they're not going to do it.
Yeah,
in January.
That was one of those really complicated football plays that I was like,
what?
Huh? Then what do we do? All right.
Then take the J bus.
Huh?
Go along.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the more important thing is it's Frisch. It's time for Carl Frisch. Oh, or maybe my nunchuck.
Karate.
Carl.
Okay. Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
For Media Matters for America. Carl Frisch.
Good morning. Before we continue,
yes.
Can you prove your progressive bona fides for me?
Can I show you my...
You have to get her drunk first.
You know, if they only listen to what right-wing radio hosts say about you.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Exactly. Take their hatred of me as my credentials, won't you?
And that's Media Matters' job, is to listen to what right-wingers say
yes,
about you.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Burr. Charles Krauthammer, let's dive into the right-wing world. Here we go.
Overall, it's pulling something out of a hat that nobody had expected. After the November elections, who would have expected an election that was actually run on the size of government, on huge debt, on shrinking government? Who would have expected that the Democrats would get the largest stimulus in galactic history a month later?
Oh, so he's complimenting the tax deal, I guess, and if you're reading it from our side. What do you think,
Carl? Well, and I think he's been playing too much, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons or something. Did he say galactic history?
Yes,
yes,
galactic history.
Oh, I usually don't like to squabble with somebody who has like super secret cloaking powers.
Yeah,
Well, you know, this is Randy Rowe's point that I keep talking about, is that this is a stimulative bill. There is a lot of good stuff in it as well, as in addition to the horrible tax cut for the rich.
Need we remind people that it was John McCain's chief economic advisor during the campaign who, when the first stimulus was coming around in 2009, who said that unemployment insurance benefits, those things stimulate the economy, tax cuts don't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So hopefully this extension of unemployment benefits and the COBRA changes, those will help people.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Glenn Beck on the radio.
Both of these opinions are stated as fact. Beck has been trying to stir up public hatred of Soros.
I don't want you to hate. I don't want you to hate him. I want you to know exactly who he is.
We gave facts about George Soros. Yeah. If you want me to stir up hatred, I guess I could do that, but I'm not in that business. Tom Forbes is stirring up hatred against me.
Wow.
So calling him a Nazi, isn't it?
Carl, you could probably notate everything Glenn Beck has said about George Soros. If that's not stirring up hatred, I don't know what is.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this, but George Soros was a Nazi collaborator, according to Glenn Beck.
Yes.
Right. Which is a lie.
Well, when you call somebody a Nazi collaborator, and you're right, it's a complete lie, and even the Anti-Defamation League called Beck out on it. But when you call somebody a Nazi collaborator, are you trying to inform people about them, or are you trying to get people to really hate them?
You're trying to elicit an emotional response.
Yeah.
And this is after that guy, Williams, was on his way to the Open Society Institute, George Soros' organization, to shoot up the place and kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy thought Glenn Beck was the best thing since sliced bread. So, you know, I wonder sometimes when somebody sees a crazy person who wanted to kill people blaming in part their actions on something you said, wouldn't the first thing you do is go, wait, gosh, I can't believe that something I said would ever do that. Then you kind of do a gut check and see how you can say something a little differently. Glenn Beck says, how can I dig in deeper?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rush Limbaugh on the president.
Oh, the chip on the shoulder becomes visible. The chip on the shoulder is large. Country was founded on compromise. This is the first paying to compromise that I've heard from the Democrats regarding this deal. Country was founded on compromise. I couldn't go through the front door at this country's now. And believe me, he still holds that against this country.
What?
And that's one of the reasons he's got this country in his crosshairs. Make no mistake about it.
Wow.
Is there nothing that Rush Limbaugh can find a way to make racial?
Right. I know. I know that really is pretty breathtaking, I must say. So Barack Obama has been plotting since he was, in Kenyan kindergarten, apparently, to take down this racist country by becoming president.
By compromise.
Yeah, yes.
That short time that Hawaii was a Kenyan colony.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, it's pretty simple. If you just look at the facts on the internet. He was raised by Karl Marx and Malcolm X in a gay marriage in a Kenyan suburb of Indonesia. Hello?
It's so obvious. It's incredibly obvious, isn't it?
Wow. Tucker Carlson and Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Friends. These are, I guess this is a guest that they're mocking who says that gay Arab translators have been fired under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because, frankly, gay Arab translators have been fired under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that's worthy of mocking, apparently.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's totally a sideshow issue. That's central to American national security.
Absolutely.
Yes, because wasted on this stupid issue?
Absolutely, it's essential, because when we have such a shortage of Arabic translators, facts are a nasty thing.
It's a politically aggressive interest group that supported the president that wants
it
to happen.
It's about standing up for American justice and for our national security.
If we repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, we'll have more Arabic translators?
That's exactly right.
Most of them are gay?
We removed a number of gay soldiers who are Arabic translators.
Most translators are gay.
And we have a shortage.
Flamboyantly.
Wow.
Yeah, who needs Arab translators?
Well, remember,
that's dopey and homophobic.
Yeah.
He had to tell them? They've never heard that? Go ahead.
We all know that of the 15,000 people that have been discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, many of them come from, have official rankings, but also come from very important parts of the service, including several Arabic translators at a time when we need them more than ever. But this is the same Tucker Carlson who once bragged about beating up a gay man at the mall in Georgetown, just laughing about it when he said it. So it shouldn't come as any surprise. The real question comes down to, this is just a further example of Fox News' love-hate relationship with the gay community. It gives great benefits to its gay employees in terms of, spousal benefits and non-employment non-discrimination. But on the network, gay people are bashed left and right. If Fox had any moral compass whatsoever, they'd fire Tucker Carlson and make him the first person, as far as I know, to have ever been fired by CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. Yes.
Come on, complete the trifecta.
But then he'd lose all those gay benefits. Oops, no.
If you're going to get beat up for looking gay, Tucker, just saying, you might want to get on the right side of that one. All right, Carl, first stay in the sidecar for a moment. We have a bit more right-wing world in the meantime. Kids, don't make me come to your house and get carbonite. You know what? I'll do it, because you're going to lose all those holiday photos, your files, all of that stuff, because it's not if, it's when. There's going to be a virus. You're going to have a power outage, whatever, a flood that gets stolen. Something always happens to your computer. In my case,
flying blue monkeys.
Wine. There was a wine flood.
Yes, a wine flood.
That destroyed my last laptop, yes.
Carl has lots of pictures of Dexter Von Frisch on his computer.
You wouldn't want to lose those.
No!
Think how you would feel when your computer crashes, all those pictures gone forever. That's why I use Carbonite Online Backup. Don't risk losing your holiday photos, all your other important files. Start backing them up today with Carbonite. Easy and affordable. Automatically backs up those files on your PC or your Mac just when you're connected to the Internet. You don't have to do anything. And it's $55 for the entire year. That is less than $5 a month for unlimited backup. Here's a special deal. Only if you use my offer code Stephanie, you get a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Free trial and 2 months free when you subscribe. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour, Scotia Moore right-wing world next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D. Weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I get delirious, never you need. Lose all self-control, be just a steal. I get delirious.
All right, in lieu about Hal Sparks being here, I'll do the Prince impression. Okay. I worked on it all night. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
Sound like someone stepped on a poodle.
Or Dexter Von Frisch. Good morning, Carl Frisch. Ah, we kid. No one stepped on Dexter Von Frisch.
No. He's in the middle of being trained.
Oh, dear. How's that going?
Good. He's already figured out how to turn off Fox News with the remote.
Yeah!
Is he updating his Twitter feed?
Well, his favorite chew toy is a loofah, so maybe he has something in common with Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Hey. Here come the jokes, everybody.
I'll be here all week. Trev Zidi.
Okay, let's finish up the right-wing world. Oh, dear God. Yeah, I needed you to have a break before I inflicted Steve Ducey on you.
It's a principle that the president has stood by since the get-go, and he has said it over and over. I am going to soak the rich. I'm going to tax the rich. How many times have you heard that?
Never.
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 Soak the rich.
You know, Carl, the one thing I do wish is that we could have more clearly made the case that these tax rates are going back to the Clinton tax rates,
right.
A time
when
of great prosperity.
Right.
I think Paul Krugman said that, you know, Clinton's economics disproved Reaganomics. You know, it's like that's, I don't know. It's a vexing time.
You know, I think the reason that Busey thinks he hears soaked the rich all the time is, you know, they put gameplay clad women on that show all the time, and I think he probably just wants a wet T-shirt contest with a bunch of rich people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Busey's a total perv.
Yeah. All right. Glenn Beck on the TV.
Now, it doesn't surprise me at all that President Obama has agreed to spend at least $100 billion that we don't have to extend unemployment benefits for 13 more months because I, and if you watch this program, know about Cloward and Piven. You know it, and I know it. Collapse the system by overloading the welfare rolls.
Huh?
Wow. So, no mention of the billions that the tax cut for the rich is going to add. Oop. Carl, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Dexter Rutherford has figured out how to hang up the phone in addition to turning off Fox News. Carl? Oh, dear. All right. Well, that concludes Right Wing World. Maybe Dexter Von Frisch had a training mishap of some sort that caught Carl's attention. All right. So it looks like, is this the third day in a row, Jim, that Joe Biden had to go give the Democrats a talking to? It was another version of the midterms, you know.
Yeah.
You bitches get it together.
You bitches better get it together. It's a big effing deal.
After Obama defended the plan for a third day, Vice President Biden met with Democratic lawmakers in the Capitol for a second day. Several Democrats predicted the measure will pass, mainly because, weirdly, there's going to be more Republican votes, but it's even among Democrats, there's more support in the caucus than there appears, said Representative Gerald Conley of Virginia. I think some people felt they had to vent. Obama said more congressional Democrats would climb on board as they study details of the measure and raising the direst alarm yet. The administration warned fellow Democrats that if they defeat the plan, it could jolt the nation back into recession. Larry Summers said it would materially increase the risk the economy would stall out and we would have a double dip recession, I think there's a lot of Jim, how are you feeling about this? I know you first day this happened, you were like, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But I mean, it really is. It really is a gamble, right? I think it depends on how your gut is for gambling. If you go, okay, let's gamble and see if the Republicans blink in January, you know.
But since they'll have solid, you know, majority of the House, I doubt that they'll.
Right. That's why I'm saying, Chris, it's like you said, Lawrence O'Donnell, you know, whether you like his style or not at times, and I thought he went too rough on Alan Grayson, but, you know, he is someone that has been in the room doing this a lot, and, you know, this is his take on it, and I think he's just as passionate in his way as Ed Schultz or Keith Olbermann or anybody else, and I wish we all could just get along and respect each other's, differences.
All I know is Republicans are ecstatic and Democrats are angry and depressed.
Not all Republicans. Jim DeMint, there's a lot of Republicans that don't like it.
Jim DeMint hates it.
Yeah,
Sarah Palin hates it.
Hmm.
The Tea Party hates it.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Jeb Hensarling hates it. He said he's a Republican of Texas. Yeah, he's a leading House Republican. He said ensuring people don't receive a tax increase for the next 2 years is vitally important, but ultimately that's not enough confidence. That's not enough certainty. That's what Republican brother wrote in this stupid email, last one. Oh, that's not enough certainty for businesses to plan ahead. We need to know.
We need to give all the money to the richest people, and then everything will be fine.
Yeah. Biden, they say, took a tough stance, warning any change might unravel the compromise. Several House Democrats who attended the meeting, the vice president said, this is the deal, take it or leave it, according to Representative Henry Waxman. So it was a version of...
You bitches get it together.
Yeah.
Big effing deal.
Well, I mean, Jim, this is what I'm afraid of, is this really could be... at this point, it is, I think, of limited value to go coulda, shoulda, woulda, what if they would have done this and we should have said that and what if we do this and what happens. It's we're in the now, right? Yeah. I mean, we're in a really critical period, and I feel like this could be a disaster. We spend the time, scuttle this deal, nothing happens. Now we don't get don't ask, don't tell. We don't get start. I mean, I'm just saying, I think it's like a little pickup sticks
gamble
right now. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of...
Doesn't look good either way.
You know, if President Obama really believes in this thing, he needs to be getting out there every single day on every single channel. And pushing this thing, explaining why.
I mean,
we're
in the position again of friggin' Esmeralda. Don't ask, don't tell, because they have said we will not pass anything until the tax cut deal is passed. So Susan Collins may be the vote on don't ask, don't tell, And it's not going to pass unless Dick Durbin said a number of Democrats said they're willing to stay in session through Christmas to get Don't Ask, Don't Tell done. They said, I'm willing to give up my Christmas for this. This may be the last chance we have to strike a blow for the kind of civil rights in this country that we need so badly. Hmm. And good for them.
I like hearing that.
Good for them. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Santa Claus will give you a lump of coal instead of presents?
Sure is.
Stephanie Miller.
Rocks. I got rocks. Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Let's hope that's not what we're saying after this Congress convenes. Rocks. We got rocks. That's it.
Well, it's kind of looking
well, but I don't know. Don't Ask, Don't Tell is looking hopeful. Start is looking hopeful. I'm not giving up yet. Okay.
When will you give up?
Listen, I.
What will it take for you
as you
to
know,
give up?
I will be even drunker during the entire holidays, so there's no telling.
Speaking of which, we have Hal Sparks filling in for us the week before Christmas.
Yes.
And we have some great year-end best ofs the week
before. Year in review best ofs.
That's right.
Yes.
That's in between Christmas and
if
New Year's.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. Okay.
Including the Lily Tomlin episode, the Joanne Worley episode.
Yeah. Oh, Joanne Worley, it's the only thing that can still make me happy. Oh, why didn't I think of that? Isn't it all better now?
Yeah.
Anthony in Eureka, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anthony.
On a technical issue, that's to say that...
Hello. Anthony has...
Anthony has a technical issue, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Tucker in Minneapolis. Hi, Tucker.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I love the new pictures that you posted onto the Facebook page of you and the dog.
I'm Max and Fred, the cutest dog in the world.
They are very adorable,
Thank you. Very cute.
I sent you a picture of my dog the other day. But the number 8 in that file, I think that one will probably also get you a girlfriend, too. So.
Why, thank you. All right, go ahead, Tucker.
I just wanted to say, going back to David's call a lot earlier, you know, the biggest problem that we have here, I mean, I understand the fight that everybody wants to have and that they want to go after the Republicans and take them on.
Yeah.
The problem we have right now is that the Republicans have never been a defined foe for the president. And the president, as much as we like to say he's got the bully pulpit, even the most viewed presidential debate had maybe 50 million if you count all the online stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the problem. We'd like to think everybody is listening as much as we're listening. They're not. That's why they keep voting against their interests, because the stuff that permeates the news media. So this fight is a good fight to have, because it's really waking up these Tea Partiers to the hypocrisy that is the current Republican agenda and has been this Republican agenda since 1994.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
no,
I mean,
exactly.
This, you know, yeah, this is a really key thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But
Tucker, you think... Are they missing
the huge,
I mean, is there any bigger story, is there any huger irony than these Tea Parties ran exclusively on the deficits and on smaller government?
Mm-hmm.
Do none of them go, wait a minute, $900 billion on the deficit?
I think they will. I think they're going to turn against the
Republicans.
Yeah. But exactly. But what does the president get out of this? So, again, it's not the greatest thing, and again, it's not the best, most effective stimulus, but $130 billion out of the $900 billion is going to go to tax cuts for the upper 2%. It's disgusting, it's grotesque, but it's $130 billion that's well spent, because it really points out who the Republicans are truly working for. And those middle class, union, blue collar voters that have been voting against their interests, the people that Thomas Frank is always talking about, these are the guys that just need this slap in the face. And when the president is facing off against Yertle and Boehner, when they are, you know, well, at least Boehner will be in charge, and Yertle will certainly be out there, you know, chiming along with the chorus. When he's got that, and when you've got the focus of a presidential election, and hopefully the economy is better, and hopefully jobs are better, and hopefully this $900 billion in stimulus, I know I've been spending money like crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
me too. I've been very intemperate.
Yes,
that's my job, because otherwise the terrorists win. Mm. John in Niagara Falls, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
The thing that's confusing to me is, after listening to guys like Olbermann and that,
and we are liberals, instead of worrying so much, and I understand because I'm on board with it, about the 2%, top 2% getting what they're getting, I think you got to look at the bottom people that would not be getting anything on January 1st.
Well, that's what Lawrence O'Donnell keeps going off on, is that people don't even talk about that. That for someone, you know, yes, it's only 10%, but this is poor people. It's the bottom bracket. And to go to 15% is a disaster for them.
I know people that live with families that their tax return is a big deal that gets them through the whole year. Their refund checks and stuff like that. So if you were to take
Oh, I remember away, 1 year, it was my biggest source of income the previous year. My tax refund.
And that's
yes.
what I'm having a hard time with here when I'm listening to guys like Overman and that, because they should know better, because as liberals, we should be worried about the least of us, not so
yes.
much what big of a fight we can have. I mean, we're going to have the fight, yeah. we should, but my God, there's more of the poor and moderate people than there is of those guys,
yeah.
and we're going to kind of just stomp on them, and what a thing to do.
Wait, that's the thing. You know, I totally, John, I get the people that disagree with the president and how this was handled. I get some of those points, but you're absolutely right. You have to look at the really progressive things that he did do with this and the really empathetic things that we stand for as liberals in terms of helping the poor and helping the middle class and trying to, I mean, as you know, one Democrat said, I said in this meeting, I'm not willing to play a game of chicken with my constituents' lives, hoping that the Republicans will blink in January.
Yeah.
If you're a gambling person, you look at, think of how bad they've been when they weren't in power. When they are in power, you think suddenly, like, oh, we were, you know, everybody says, oh, if the president uses bully pulpit, we'll shame them into, it's like, really? Really?
Yeah. It's easy for the Republicans to play chicken because they don't care about people.
Exactly.
Democrats actually care about people, so we care about the consequences.
Yes, we're weighed down by that.
Yeah.
Bob is in Tacoma. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey,
this
Bob.
This is the perfect time of year for this administration, Lawrence O'Donnell, Chris Matthews, et cetera, to stop bashing progressives and start pointing out that America is being scrooged by Republican obstructionists, because the words of Scrooge define Republicans of this nation. Mm-hmm. If you are poor, shut up and die, decrease the surplus population. They are a threat to the health, safety, and security of this nation. And why we're not promoting that more and letting the people know that them not supporting the START Treaty is a threat to the health and safety and security of this country.
Yeah. Can you imagine, who is it, John Kyle, saying, oh, a year, maybe in a year, we need to, you know, study and revamp our nuclear bluff. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's just, it's stunning.
Yeah, John Kyle is strong on national security when a Republican is in president.
Yeah.
But he just uses it as a political hot potato.
And everybody knows it. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
They're just, I mean, don't ask, don't tell. They have no arguments anymore. They're just grasping at straws.
I dare say John Kyle is a flip-flopper.
Hmm. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mama.
Hey, baby.
Are you today?
Good.
Listen, everybody is going off on you and Randy and anyone who defends this. What they don't see is that he moved the goalpost on these sunsetting taxes to the president when he's going for re-election. So that's going to show the masses, the people that only vote, you know, every 4 years, what the Republicans really have been doing for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't understand that politics is a compromise. That's what they do. When you go into a board meeting and you want to pass your agenda for your proposal, it's still politics. It's in everyday life. Take that and just make it on a grander scale with a bigger budget. And that's what's going on.
Yep, 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 I hear you. Yeah, sorry, Jim.
Oh, no, never mind. You don't
okay.
Oh.
No, of course I do.
Come
of course
on,
I
Jim.
Do. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, just Bill Press was talking about this morning. He came in 2009 saying we're going to take down these tax cuts for the millionaires. And then kick it down the road 2 years till 2012. And now we're kicking the can down the road to 2010. Now we're kicking it down.
Well, we couldn't have done it before now. This is when they expire, right? I mean, the Bush tax cuts. I agree with you. This is the time to do it, and I wish we could have. And trust me, I still hope for an American president ending. Maybe there'll be some miracle. Maybe there'll be some miracle. I don't know.
You're not getting one, no. I can tell you that right now.
Joan in Petaluma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joan.
Stephanie, I love your show.
Thank you.
But I have a suggestion. I'm for not not giving the rich their tax cut. But couldn't we in this country, I mean, I donate to politicians, I donate to charities. Can't we set up a program that donates to people that are on
unemployment?
Unemployment.
Well, wouldn't the Republicans love that? Let's just make it a voluntary thing where people have to donate. Or, you know, I mean, it's a nice thought, but I mean that's the problem. Is I think, you know, with Republicans with this no government. I mean, some of them really really think we should just do away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is.
They'd be happy with no taxes at all and centralized government. Leave the states to do whatever they
want. I hesitate to even say her name, but Christine O'Donnell, this is the problem with the media. It's like you have to cover it, I guess. The dopiest person ever to run for office, I think, in the history of this country has formed Christine PAC. So that... I mean, the story is just...
Yeah, go with that.
First of all, it's an episode of really bad analogies, but I don't...
She's a cut-rate Sarah Palin, if there could be such a thing as a cut-rate Sarah Palin.
Palin looked like an intellectual.
Yeah.
At the launch event for Christine PAC, she called the extension of jobless benefits a tragedy, comparing it to Pearl Harbor and the death of Elizabeth Edwards.
What? How?
Oh, wait, I'll get to it, yeah. Today...
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogies.
Today marks a lot of tragedy. Tragedy comes in threes. Pearl Harbor, Elizabeth Edwards' passing, and Barack Obama's announcement of extending tax cuts, which is good, but also extending the unemployment benefits, which apparently is a tragedy on par with...
With Pearl Harbor. With Elizabeth Edwards. 3,000 people dying.
Mm-hmm. O'Donnell, just for a little added dollop of vomit, of course has spent much of her adulthood... unemployed,
right.
But appears to have avoided collecting unemployment thanks to her perennial campaigns for office, which she's been raiding for years. So, of course, she doesn't need unemployment. There's an idea. Form your own PAC. How about that?
And then live off your
campaign funds from your disastrous losing campaigns.
Have Christine O'Donnell pay for all the unemployed people. Give them, since she has apparently an unlimited spigot of cash.
So, Jim DeMint opposes tax deal because of jobless benefits. We can't just keep paying people to stay home, he said.
Right. They're not staying home. They're
looking
for work.
That was the same argument the Hoover administration made. Give me unemployment insurance. Just make them lazy.
I don't think we need to extend unemployment any further without paying for it, he said. Again, nobody ever asking why the tax cuts for billionaires don't need to be paid for. Yeah. According to DeMint, the problem with unemployment is that they amount to paying people to stay home. We can't just keep paying people to stay home. We've got to create economic activity to allow businesses to grow.
We're giving rich people a tax cut as paying them to stay home because they're not going to create jobs, not in this country anyway. Yes. They're going to buy another yacht or, you know, a private island.
So Jim DeMint opposes it. Some Republicans also unhappy with the tax cut deal. Too few tax cuts, too much help for the jobless.
Yes, it's way too much help.
Yes,
Jim $300 bucks a week. My God. You want someone to skin your grapes for you?
The Conservative Club for Growth rejects the deal because it doesn't make both the Bush tax cuts and the estate tax repeal permanent. The Heritage Foundation also opposes the tax plan because they want the tax cuts to be permanent. By allowing only a two-year extension of cuts...
Only 2 years?
...current tax rates, the president's agreement provides no long-term certainty that is essential for economic recovery.
Oh, my God.
That's in my Republican brother's letter. I'll read that to you next. Okay.
Like the economic recovery we had under the Bush administration when these tax cuts were in place?
They also denounced the inclusion of jobless benefits, calling them a permanent entitlement. See? Lots of right Republicans hate this plan.
Well, it'd be permanent if you keep sending jobs to India and China.
Yeah.
All right.
Instead of creating them here.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Mike in Provo, Utah.
Provo.
What did I say?
Provo.
Provo, Utah.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Go ahead.
I've been one of those folks that has been extremely angry over the last few days, and as I listen to everyone on the radio, it's odd because I agree with everyone.
Yeah, me too. You must be a Libra too.
But what I've really come to sort of where I am today is that I'm just disappointed in the sense that it's really hard for me to see much difference in the delivery method of the last few days with this tax cut, and especially today listening to the White House saying, if we don't do this, double dip recession, hurry up, make this happen. It seems the same way that Bush delivered the bank bailout. Hurry up, we got to do this, the world will fall apart.
Well, but Mike, the difference is Republicans are taking over in January. There is going to be a different political nexus in January.
I completely understand that, but the delivery sounds the same, and I think that's what bothers me. I think that.
Well, but I understand, but I think in this, first of all, you know, if you talk about making the case even for war, obviously it was based on a pack of lies. I think this is largely true. I mean, I think if you really look at this package, you'll see that it's true in terms of that. I think it is going to benefit the economy, and I think that our economy, Jim, is so fragile right now. I think that's part of the president's calculus is we can't afford to gamble right now. Mm. It's not we don't have the economy we had under Clinton. You know, it's not that's the thing. I think that's the danger. And we've talked about this going back to Truman or LBJ or whatever. It was a totally different time with totally different majorities, with a totally different media, with no Fox News. It's just I think it's a different time. The president yesterday talking.
We've already had a whole bunch of them who've said this makes sense. And I think the more they look at it, the more of them are going to say this makes sense.
The Democrats I'm talking to, you know, I absolutely some are still very much opposed, but some are like I was. I mean, I was sputtering mad, screaming at the television too. And then, you know, you sit and look at it and go through the details and go, okay.
I still maintain we have a communications problem.
What? What'd you say?
I have a communications problem in my own family. Could I have some reading my Republican brother's letter to you all and see? Because Jim, and this is the first time ever I've done this, I went back into my delete file and I moved it back into my inbox because I don't usually Thanks to Carbonite. I was able to find my vomitous letter from my
propaganda.
Republican brother. I was all fired up right after it happened, and I read the letter I wrote. I just read a very brief one that, you know, I'd be happy to pay more taxes for the common good and for the deficit, and I said I wonder what Dad would have thought who ran with Goldwater, I said of us, you know, with these tax rates, when his friend General Eisenhower, the tax rates were 90%, when we traded it, I was saying for a START treaty that Zero Nukes Reagan would have thought is too conservative, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So, how many pages is this, Jim? He fired back at several. I won't bore you with them. Here's one of the ones I love. Have you heard this from right-wingers? Steffi, as for the tax issue, I think you and anyone else who wants to absolutely should send the government more tax money if you want to.
Well, then everybody doesn't pay their fair share now, do they?
If you think the government spends it so wisely and effectively, no one is stamping you. This is like we're becoming eight again.
So, yeah, you saved the economy all by yourself, Stephanie.
Yeah,
Don't bother the rich people on that. They don't care about that.
Yeah,
don't.
What's some
they
object
have their own
to
private islands.
They don't
have
sully their beautiful minds with something like that.
What some object to is you forcing them to send more.
Yes. Forcing rich people to pay money.
And I already know what Dad would think. I swear to God, this is like an eight-year-old we're having with each other. Because
Dad, it was like me best.
This is apparently what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Because I talked to him about how tax cuts spur growth after Reagan was elected.
Yeah.
As I pointed out yesterday, my dad died in 1983. I think any major economist would tell you that Reaganomics failed. The trickle-down economics failed. Okay. Speaking as a businessman, I'm still not really sure what my brother does. Anyway,
really?
what we want to... Shush, let's not get... Okay. Listen, I don't want to be that awkward at Christmas.
Okay.
You're
saying the DEA should be involved?
No, I'm not saying anything. I don't know anything.
Well, sure, not in the business of winning elections now, is he?
Stop it!
What?
Y'all are mean.
Oh, yeah.
What we want more than anything is certainty, so we can make long-term plans and know that we are not going to get blindsided by some unknown changes that would destroy plans we thought were good ones at the time we made them. This two-year extension crap is really a short time in a business cycle that still prevents long-term planning.
1,000 years is a short time in a business cycle.
He probably agrees with Newt Gingrich. Let's ask businessmen how long they would like
how much they would like to pay.
How much would you like to pay? And how long would you like that to go on?
10 cents for 5 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's let a little peek into my private world there. Let's go to Jeff in Chicago real quick. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, speaking of the messaging problem that we're having, I think one of the big problems we have is that it always takes more and bigger words to explain our position.
Yes.
So I got a suggestion. I say we allow the upper income tax cut to be extended, maybe even permanently, maybe not even expire. But then we say that dividends and capital gains be treated like regular income.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, be taxed on that just like middle class people are.
Yeah. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, I'll run that by my brother. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Checking my Republican brother's emails is exhausting.
What do
even
you mean?
When I make you two do it.
Yeah, what do you mean you didn't fact check a damn thing?
6 minutes after the hour, 1-800
Step 12. And then you didn't listen to us when we were telling you the facts.
That was so brain twister. Do we have to know this? Kind of. StephanieMiller.com, the website. All right, his point was that, okay, when Reagan cut taxes, revenues went up to the government, not down. In the short term, that was true, but what my point is, and I saw in the long term, I was right.
Well, we were spending massively on military stuff in those days. In fact, they were the CIA were deliberately overvaluing the Soviet capabilities to justify the huge military buildup.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that money was
is that in the long term, I think most credible economists would argue that Reaganomics was kind of a disaster, and trickle-down does not work.
It worked in the short term.
In the short term, yes.
However, it's completely unsustainable as an economic system.
And similarly, under Kennedy.
And also, the tax rates now, what the tax rates we're talking about is my point, they're not going to do that. They're just going to add to the deficit.
And you know what's funny? This all has to do with the Laffer curve, which is what Ben Stein was teaching about in that scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Seriously.
Everybody, Bueller,
that's what happened. When you guys were talking, all I heard was Bueller.
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 Yeah.
I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
But Kennedy's tax cut was more Keynesian. It was aimed at consumers in the middle class. It would have a multiplier effect.
Right, but he was cutting it from 90 to
another taxpayer. And he cut
90 to 71.
91 to 70, which is still a huge, huge jump.
Yes, and we're arguing over 30 this or 30 something that.
Yeah, 30 is
way too much. All these tax cuts will do is add to the deficit. They're not going to do anything to stimulate the economy because the amount is relatively so minuscule.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Listen, all I wanted were things that confirm my brother's a big right-wing dope. All right. Who I love very much. Okay. All right. Speaking of more fun facts, these are more understandable. Chris in Yankton has sent us a... hey, guys, Nate Silver at 538.com. Jim, you mentioned this yesterday, has a post on the issue about liberal voter turnout. This is in the midterms. Mm-hmm. This refutes the annoying claim that Democrats lost seats because the icky, stupid liberals stayed home. Liberals didn't stay home. Their approval of Obama declined somewhat, but they still turned out to vote.
Right.
In fact, they turned out at higher percentages. In some places, mushy moderates sat at home on their independent asses, and crazy right-wing Republicans turned out in higher numbers because they viewed this election as a proxy vote against President Obama, whom they've been conditioned to hate by a Fox News, quote unquote. The White House and the Beltway media can keep punching hippies because it makes them feel good, but liberals didn't stay home and they didn't cost Democrats the election. Chris and Yankton. Okay. Hippie punching is kind of a hobby in the liberal media.
Hey, bitches, get it together.
All right. But you know, I have to say, that's the other thing I think people are saying privately. That's part of what this is about, is getting the independents back. Because, Jim, part of this is the politics, is making the president look moderate and bipartisan and you know, like he can get things done.
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm saying all those great House bills we passed, Jim, when we control both houses are great, but they didn't get done. They didn't, you know, the reality of it is I loved all the House bills, but...
Obama actually... campaigned as a moderate. People don't remember that because of all the highfalutin rhetoric and whatnot. And he did depend heavily on moderates to win.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. That's what I keep saying. Is this is not really a shock. This was what he campaigned on. He didn't. Anyway. That's why I'm like, what's the crazy socialist, huh? What? All right. Here are some stories to make us all feel better. Here's a good news, bad news sort of story. Mm-hmm. Well, the good news, the bad news is they got in a car crash, this family, and the bad news was they had a giant tub of paint in the back seat.
Oh, God.
Which covered the entire family. Ugh. However, no one was injured, so there's a happy ending.
Wow. And as the story says, they're all white.
It was all white paint.
Yeah, oh, because it was white paint, so they're all white.
They just look like a car full of teabaggers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. On their way to a white supremacist.
White sale. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was in South Africa, so there's a little bit of...
Africa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. A little warning from the Stephanie Miller Show. If you're going to sunbathe nude, don't do it near the Target store in Martin County, Florida.
Oh.
All right. Note to self.
Yes. No, not that one. A lot of the one, here is fine. Your Fairfax, sure. That Target, that's good. Nobody, who cares? That's
Fairfax
where you go to
Target.
Sunbathe nude.
There's one in the Valley.
It's not Fairfax. It's somewhere
else. La Brea.
La Brea, pardon me. That one is fine. The defendant had a pair of brown underwear down on his knees, but was otherwise naked
brown
with his...
Brown underwear?
What was he preparing for?
Nobody should ever, ever
wear
a pair of brown underwear.
Well, if you're having
Kelsey
digestive
Brammer's
problems, maybe that's a wise choice. Mm-hmm. Yeoman, get my brown pants. That's a punchline to a very old joke.
Here's a future husband for me. A 41-year-old man being arraigned for DUI was rearrested for reportedly being drunk after he fell down before the judge.
Oh,
wow.
He, at the scene, refused to take a blood or breath test, telling the officers, I ain't taking no tests. I'm drunk. I'm blind anyway, and I can't drive.
Oh, blind?
Wow.
Wait.
He's not blind. It was a nice, nice
drive. Blind, drunk, and
I'm not
stupid.
Supposed
There's
to
no way to go through
I'm
life, son.
You're driving anyway. I'm blind.
Oh, wow. Being drunk was the least of his problems.
Don't you hate when you go to buy ecstasy and it turns out to be laxative?
What?
I hate when that happens.
Again?
Hence the brown underwear.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Kelsey Grammer's wife did.
17-year-old male was arrested at a dance party in Sydney after being found with 94 brown-colored tablets. Tests are underway to determine what they contain, but detectives believe they are laxatives being sold as ecstasy.
Wait a minute. Okay. Laxatives should never, ever be brown either.
At least it's more of a warning. If they're brown, what's going to happen?
Well, X-Lax. They deliberately make it.
Why do they make Viagra blue? Unless you're going to... An avatar. Why should they be blue? Or a Smurf?
Well, of course, if you take too much, it turns your eyesight blue. Things start looking blue.
Yeah, probably. That's true.
So maybe that's again, a warning. You want to see blue? Mm. Here it is.
I want to give a... to Aaron Sorkin. Did you see his...
Oh, yeah.
Post piece about Sarah Palin. For all of us animal lovers in the world, was that not the most disturbing thing you've ever seen on a reality show?
Well,
her killing it, was it a moose? Or
an elk.
It was
an elk.
A deer or something like that. And even hunters were saying, she's a horrible hunter because she's doing it all wrong.
Wow. Well, I mean, it was just the giggling and the high five after... And Chris Matthews plays the clip, and Pat Buchanan goes, I think most people are going to think, well, there's a great gal. I'm like, what? No, I'm going to think there's an animal that's suffering and dying while she's high-fiving somebody. It was
wasn't even a clean kill, I guess.
Right, exactly.
No.
She was suffering, clearly.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was giggling over its suffering.
And, hunters know how to, proper hunters know how to hunt without making the animal suffer. Right.
Yeah. Didn't someone else have to, it was like several shots or someone else had to,
because she's a miserable shot apparently.
Yes. Aaron Sorkin writes, Sarah Palin, phony pioneer girl killing animals for fun. He writes, you weren't killing that animal for food or shelter or even fashion. You were killing it for fun. I can't make a distinction between what you get paid to do and what Michael Vick went to prison for doing. Thank you, Aaron Sorkin. Yeah. Yeah, what's that supposed to... Look, kids, you can grow up to make animals torture suffer animals. For entertainment on a reality mm-hmm. show someday.
And then be president.
And she said she
then
did
make
it.
Make people suffer.
She did it because Wasilla doesn't have any grocery stores, which is a damn lie.
My God.
That is a damn lie.
Isn't that
lie.
Charming? Isn't she a pioneer gal?
Mm-hmm.
And Levi says she can't hit this broadside of a barn with a shotgun
right.
anyway. She's a miserable shot.
Oh, boy. Something in politics turns out to not be true? You mean she's not a frontiersy crack shot?
With, oh, that's a comment about her manicure.
Speaking of odious right-wingers, I don't even want to have to say this, but you know the Westboro Baptist Church,
yeah.
Jim? The proprietors of, you know...
is that the...
God Fred Phelps.
Hates. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God hates Swedes.
Right.
Among others. They will be protesting at Elizabeth Edwards' funeral on Saturday because she apparently was for marriage equality. Okay. Elizabeth Edwards' funeral and burial scheduled for Saturday in Raleigh, North Carolina. She will be buried next to her son, Wade, who died in a car accident at age 16 in 1996. And that was the one good thing that made me happy yesterday as I thought about that. I thought she's with Wade again. She's with her son. All right. So there is crying. As we know, there is crying in baseball, and also there is crying on Barbara Walters specials. What do you call it? Oprah.
There's no crying in baseball!
It's required in Barbara Walters specials, I believe. Oprah Winfrey sheds tears when talking about her best friend, Gail King. I've got to tune in. Gail's show is on our flagship affiliate here in L.A., KTLK.
Yep.
I have to tune in this afternoon and see what she says about it. But it was very touching. She actually started crying when she was talking about Gail King. She said, she's the mother I never had. She's a sister everybody would want. She's the friend everybody deserves. I don't know a better person, she said, with tears running down her face. Shoot, I wasn't going to cry. Walter said, why is it making you cry? She said, it's making me cry because I'm thinking how much I probably never told her that. And she starts, and I've worked with Gail, and she really is. She is really, really, she's as nice as she sounds, you know. But anyway, so she stops crying when Walter brings up the endless buzz that the two are gay.
Yeah.
Babwa. She said, I have said we are not gay enough times. I'm not a lesbian. I'm not even kind of lesbian. I'm not sure what that means. She said the reason it irritates me is because it means somebody must think I'm lying. Why would you hide it? That's not the way I run my life. Barbara Walters said on Good Morning America about Stedman Graham. He said, I thought he was out of the picture. Not at all. They live together, which I guess she didn't know. But, yeah, I don't. I wish people would lay off that. Having been the object of speculation for many years myself, when it turned out to be true in my case. But, you know, it's just, why do people have to... I've heard her talk about that. So, you know, Gail brought it up on our show. We just had Gail on a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know. They just don't strike me as the kind of people because they are so progressive and pro-gay rights. They're like, why would we...
Right.
She's like, we would say it if we were. It's not... so I don't know. Anyway, lay off Oprah, for God's sakes. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, more celebrity stacks and stack and the latest on the tax deal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, Rob in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rob.
Hey, my Republican friends try to be clever, too, and tell me I can send all the money to the government I like.
Yes.
I tell them I'll be happy to do it if I get first dibs on services, and that shuts them up.
There you go.
Yes. My help with letters from my Republican brother. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
That's a very good point.
Laird in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Actually, it's Leonard, actually. I'm from
Leonard.
Seattle.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting tired of these Republicans saying no to everything.
Just now you're getting tired?
Well, what I'm saying is I don't like what the Republicans are doing, because yesterday when I heard about the Republicans telling the Democrats that Social Security recipients don't need an extra $250 for the second year in a row, that's just kind of like, wait a minute. I mean, is this some sort of joke? and then I read the article about it, and now I'm furious about this.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, Laird. We have some breaking news. What's happening? I can't see over my fake
Democrats
fever.
Defy President Obama.
House won't take up tax cut deal in its current form.
Dana Bash looks astonished.
She always looks astonished.
She always looks a little astonished.
But now she really looks astonished.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means.
It means that changes are going to have to be made before they even begin to look at it.
Yeah. Hey, I could get my American president ending after all, or it could all end in disaster. Isn't politics exciting?
You know, yeah.
I don't know. I just love that. That reminded me of Death Becomes Her. I have a warning. The Republicans are going to say no to everything. Now?
Wait a minute.
Now a warning?
Maybe this is all a ploy to make people enthusiastic about Democrats again. Maybe Obama's playing a game.
Well, then he's going to have to dig out of a big, deep hole.
I know. I was trying on the rose-colored glasses. They didn't do very well.
No. Harry Reid.
I hope
yesterday.
That can be in the next day or two. I'm working to, within the framework that was presented to us on the tax bill, to see if we can get some changes.
Yeah, well, apparently that's, and Anthony Weiner echoed that yesterday. He was talking about...
If the Republican Party, and Republicans, every one of them, wants to say no one who makes $60,000 a year can get a tax cut until we give one for people who make $1.6 million, I think we want to join that fight. You want to have that debate. I don't recall having that debate. I recall that we going to zero to a compromise in about 3.5 seconds. That's the problem here.
Yep. All right. I think the main question in this economy is who is going to buy Queen Elizabeth's underwear.
What?
It's being auctioned off.
Her knickers are up for sale?
A pair of undergarments that reportedly belong to the Queen are set to go up for auction in America. The monogrammed item, reminiscent of shorts. Oh, the Queen wears boy shorts.
No, they're granny panties is what they are.
Shorts.
Reportedly came into the possession of a famous Miami playboy.
What?
More than 40 years ago, according to TMZ. I wonder how...
Have they been authenticated?
The Queen's reputation of skank biscuitness might prove true.
Have they been authenticated? I mean, anybody
He says he received the garment from a friend after it was left on a private plane used when the Queen visited Chile in 1968.
Oh.
It has come to our attention that a pair of our royal knickers are being auctioned in the colonies. We regret to admit that it is not the first time that our privates have very publicly gone under the hammer, so to speak. It's at an auction, you see, they have a hammer.
Yeah,
one recalls the rule of right-wing President Jorge Alessandri, who ruled Chile with an iron fist and other appendages which were equally stalwart. In fact, we were fortunate to have sampled the Chilean lovemaking styles of Alessandri, Allende, and Pinochet. From all political perspectives, and as one might suspect, the liberal were more creative in their approach, and the conservative more forceful. One recalls both styles fondly. I fear royal knickers were found from Puente Arenas to Pisagua, which sounds rather like an unfortunate medical condition.
Yes.
Nonetheless, we remain powerfully amused.
See, that's it.
I looked at a map
of
Chile.
Queen. I miss that old hoe.
Punta Arenas is in the north and Pisagua.
No, Punta Arenas is in the south.
Excuse me?
Oh, did I get it backwards?
Yes.
Oh, okay, backwards. Yeah, Punta Arenas is in the south and Pisagua is in the north.
Sounds dirty, wherever it is.
And Chile is just this little tiny strip of land on the edge of the Andes on the west.
But they got all the coastline. They got all the coastline.
They got a good deal.
All right, everything could be imploding with the breaking news, but the Queen's back and Joanne Worley. So...
Yep, you'll be hearing Joanne Worley, the week between Christmas and New Year's.
How bad can things be?
Hey.
Okay, let's go to Dave in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm pissed off, frankly. I've done everything I can to support President Obama since day one, but he ran under the promise that once the tax breaks for the rich ended, he would just do away with them for good. Well, now they're ending, and he's not doing away with them. So,
right. But it's not just him. He has a whole... I get you, honey, but this is the problem. He's had this whole obstructionist Republicans and conservatives all along. And, Jim, I don't know what... Well, we'll talk about this after the break. This could be a disaster for Democrats. The House blocking the president. I'm just saying Democrats and the president could end up taking the blame for all this. I mean, Look, I hope for a happy ending, but what do you think? 29 minutes after the hour, right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, I don't know what to say except it's Christmas and we're all in misery.
It's 34 minutes after the hour. Thank you, Eric, for the toothpicks. There I am on Ustream. There you go. Because he says I pick my teeth too much, so he sent me a...
camera on you.
Yeah, he sent me a thing filled with toothpicks. And also the Rat Pack sings Christmas. Thank you, Eric. You guys know, you come to my house, that's all I have on is the Seriously Sinatra.
I'm
serious.
The
old lady music, yeah. Love it.
We're on Sirius.
Old lady and music.
Yeah, well, you know, that's my stuff. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to, and carry the four divided by... Vaughn in Portland, Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Vaughn.
Hi, guys, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, question for you. Since the population roughly has changed, I don't know, doubled in 50 years, like literally doubled in 50 years, doesn't it stand to reason that we don't necessarily need to bring the Bush tax cuts out, that we could leave those in place since we have twice as many people paying into the system, that if we could just stop spending, I don't know, $1 billion a month or $4 billion a month in Afghanistan, maybe rein in the spending a little bit? Do you think that maybe we could keep the tax cuts, keep all the money in my pocket?
I'd like to do both. Why couldn't we do both is what I'm wondering. Why couldn't we get rid of the tax cuts for the rich, which would give us much, much needed money with this huge deficit and get out of Afghanistan? How about that? All right, Anthony Weiner yesterday.
My grievance with him is that he did not fight a vigorous enough battle for this, not just in the last week, not just in the last month, in the entire last year.
I will say the president wanted them to do this vote earlier is what I'm saying. So now, if you didn't hear the breaking news, and Dana Bash does look...
Startled.
So I'm not sure what this means, but House Democrats are saying they will defy the president. So I don't know what that means. So they're saying they're not going to, because they were going to do the Senate vote first, correct? They're saying unless there is change, there are changes, they will not vote for this compromise.
Yeah. So it will not see the House floor in this form.
Okay. Yeah, Barney Frank just yesterday said it'll be passed. He said by virtually all Republicans and some Democrats.
Barney Frank didn't speak to enough of his colleagues.
Yeah, I guess not. Pelosi and other House Democrats had remained neutral to the tax cut, criticizing some aspects, but stopping short of urging or predicting its demise. And again, they sent Joe Biden for a second or third day, Jim.
Hey, come on, bitches. It's got it sorted out. Get it together. It's a big effing deal.
You know, and it's interesting, Matt Cooper, I feel for the country, for the president, for Democrats. He wrote just yesterday, will the tax cut deal begin a turnaround for Obama? I'm just saying this could implode really on all of us if this... This could be the, don't you think, Jim, it could be the final nail in Democrats are just completely incompetent and can't get anything done.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Do you know why Democrats are doing this? They're hearing from their constituents.
Of course.
They don't want to be thrown out by their constituents.
Democrats were spooked by this last election. Uh-huh. They're finally listening to their constituents.
If the Democrats hadn't been spooked and had run as Democrats and embraced their health care, their accomplishments. A
lot of them did, but not the Blue Dogs.
Exactly. Oh, that's who... most annoyed with conservatives. Anyway, Matt Cooper writing just yesterday, Barack Obama, who seemed so invincible in 2008 and so defeated in 2010, may be headed into 2011 with at least a small head of steam. First, the president seems poised to win a couple of big victories during the lame duck, and he's talking about start and don't ask, don't tell. If this tax deal, this is what I'm afraid of, Chris, is what I've been saying. If this gets prolonged now, perfect example, they're going to go, can't get to start or don't ask, don't tell, sorry. Because Matt Cooper writing just yesterday, John McCain and his friends may prevail, but it seems less likely than it did a week ago. That would be a serious achievement for a president who would be giving the left of his party something it's sought for 17 years, and would rank as one of the biggest changes in military social policy since the introduction of women and the integration of African Americans into the armed forces.
So why doesn't he do... Executive order.
Congressman Andrews just said this yesterday, because this is a law, unfortunately, because under Clinton, this is a law, and the only way to permanently overturn it is by an act of Congress.
Yes, but if you overturn it for 2 years, you get thousands of openly gay people serving in the military, and then put the onus on the Republicans to kick them out en masse.
Well, he may have to, but I mean, ridiculous is it, Jim, that we can't get this done in Congress when 70% of the American people, 70% of the military, all of the leaders of the military are saying...
Well, it's not going to get done.
Except for the Marines. The leader of the Marines.
Roughhead?
Not Admiral Roughhead. Not Admiral Roughhead, no.
No, Admiral Roughhead is down with it.
He is down with... down.
Matt Cooper writing yesterday, even the tax deal, which is causing consternation on the president's left, may turn out to be of some benefit to him. Yes, Obama will have to compromise on his longstanding policy of opposing continued tax breaks for wealthier earners, but a deal with the Republicans, even one that means... he does more of the giving, will allow him to claim he didn't permit an income tax hike on his watch. There are politics involved in this. Let's face it. It will allow him to appear more bipartisan, and by having a fight with the party's left, he may appear more centrist. What we were just talking about, Nate Silver's numbers, what actually happened in the midterms is independents stayed home.
Right.
More than anybody.
But isn't this what Clinton did?
It's telling that when... Well, the other thing is, what the hell was that right-wing world bite we played yesterday? The prostitute toe-sucker Dick Morris saying, oh, the president caved. Oh, how come it was brilliant triangulation when you had Clinton, when you told Clinton right. to do it? That's what they're doing. They're just trying to keep stoking the fights between the Democrats.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt Cooper finishing. It's telling that when Obama, who received so much bad press when he failed to secure a free trade agreement with South Korea during his Asian visit last month, got that same agreement last week, his success was less wildly trumpeted than the preliminary failure. It's an object lesson in how presidents can quietly put themselves on the path to victory.
Mm-hmm.
The president talking about the long game. And by the way, I don't know if I even knew that he got the trade, because that's the liberal media for you. I remember hearing all the dough. He failed. It was a do. He didn't get the agreement. I don't remember any press on that he got it. You know, I mean, it's.
But success is boring, I guess, now. Failure is spectacular.
Yes, well, more of a headline. Like
failure is sexy.
Yeah. Representative.
Although there is fear that if the tax cuts are extended for 2 years, that Republicans will make them permanent at the end of that, and then we'll really be screwed.
Yeah. Senate Democrats said Wednesday they had a plan to overcome Republican objections and repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The White House also expressed optimism, despite some key Republican senators giving no indication they would agree. Advocates for overturning the law said they, and a few have said this, they have the 60 votes. Here it comes all down to Esmeralda again. Yo, that's Susan Collins, Senator Ghostly of Maine. They've united to block previous attempts to advance...
So there actually is a witch in Congress.
Say the bill requires more debate time than Harry Reid has allowed. Reid told reporters he's trying to negotiate a deal with Collins that would allow more than a dozen amendments on the bill and extra time for Republicans if they wanted it. Reid's aides say they expected Collins would swing behind the proposal, especially now that a deal has been struck with the White House on tax cuts. This is what I'm afraid of. If this deal implodes, there goes Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Because, you know, they have drawn that line in the sand that they're not going to put anything else through until the tax deal is done.
Which may force President Obama to issue an executive order.
Yeah.
Which may mean he's a one-term president, but, you know.
Tom.
Hello?
Maybe that's what he wants.
Yeah, Tom in Sylmar, California. He's like, I don't like my hair white.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Stephanie.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to tell you that your dad would be very, very proud of you for hanging in there
Not if you hear my brother tell it. But all right, go ahead.
That's okay. I have a brother who lives in the Midwest who voted twice for Bush too, and we can't really talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the Republicans who create blue dogs. It's because they, there are some Democrats who just go by the political wind. So I'm really proud of you for hanging in there the way that Democrats need to.
Yeah. Well, I just that's the, you know, as Jim keeps saying, like, we're weighed down by that we actually care about people and about what happens, you know, to these people whose unemployment runs out, to people. I mean, I'm just saying there are good things in there. By the way, we need to applaud. We need to say something good about the Republicans when it's warranted. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska Scott Brown, Susan Collins, John Ensign have all said that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be overturned. Even a conservative, Mark Pryor of Arkansas, had said he was waiting for the study. So, I mean, I'm just saying, we're right there. We are right at the finish line on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And all right. Representative Peter DeFazio, Democrat of Oregon.
So we want to have a record vote in the caucus on a resolution that would say this proposal should not go to the floor without a majority of Democratic votes.
Okay. Bill in Roseville, Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Well, hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I wish this deal could be amended to include those of us, the millions of us who have reached our 99-week limit of unemployment.
Mm,
99.
Yeah. Yep.
99ers.
Gosh, because he had a golden, President Obama had a golden opportunity to include us. I mean, the Republicans would have sold their mothers to get that tax break for the millionaires. You know, all he had to do was slide it in there, and it would have been. They would have okayed that too. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this is the problem. Is, you know, the White House warned is this could unravel this whole deal. I mean, you've got the Jim DeMints of the world; they're against it because there's too much help for the unemployed. And oh, and I love this. Listen to this.
It increases deficit spending, which is one of the things many of us have said we're not going to vote for.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, so you'll take out the tax cuts for the rich, which causes the what? Huh?
Not that kind of deficit spending.
Oh, it's the
that's the good kind that makes people like Jim DeMint richer.
Bill in Clifton, New Jersey. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, my idea is that you make the Republicans put their money where their mouth is, such as, like, Rush Limbaugh will get an extra $2 million in his paycheck this year because of the taxes. He has to dedicate that money towards hiring people, like 40 people at $50,000 each, because they say it's all to hire people, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know, the problem is how many people do you need to go get your OxyContin? You know, normally one...
Apparently just one housekeeper.
One housekeeper can usually...
Housekeeper lackey.
Exactly.
Who's probably not making 50 grand.
Okay, and off-market Viagra. I mean, how many pharmacy runs or, you know, runs to a parking lot can you make a day?
Get it off the internet now.
Sure. 45 minutes... There's another job gone.
Another job gone to India.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi.
I'm not having a seizure. I'm dancing. 50 minutes after.
You're giving the people on Ustream a show, you know, by bouncing things.
Okay, 50 minutes after the hour.
1-800-STEF-1-2,
the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, a listener writes.
Oh, yes. I mentioned earlier that Levi Johnston asserted that Sarah Palin can hit the broadside of a barn. Stephen from Indiana, listening on WCPQ from Chicago.
CBCBT.
Oh, Park Forest.
Yes.
Park Forest.
Yes.
South Chicago area. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Levi, I said that. Levi, I presume Levi knows this from the fact that he's still alive.
Yes, that's
absolutely.
She's probably tried a few warning shots, I'm guessing, have whizzed by.
Mm-hmm. Miss me. Miss me again. Miss me again. Wow, you suck.
Dan in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm 60 years old, and I've been fighting the battle for over 40 years, and I think this thing that Obama did with the Republicans, not even inviting the Democratic Party at the meeting, is an abomination. But there's one part of this that's the worst, and it's never been mentioned by anybody on any show except for Tom Hartman, and that is that payroll holiday on the taxes, That's Social Security. That's defunding Social Security. And what that does is the Republicans have been trying to do that for over 20 years, and that ties the rich tax cuts to robbing Social Security of money. You want to give people a raise, you give them a raise. You don't rob Social Security. I paid into it for over 37 years, and I don't want my Social, and they have to pay into it just like I did. And I'm continuing to pay into it if I had a job, and I've been out of work for almost 2 years. So that's a ridiculous thing to do, and it's horrible. And as Randy Rose said, oh, it's a raise. It's not a raise. You're just robbing Social Security people, and the Republicans will say, sorry, we don't have the money, and Obama agreed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yep. And nobody's mentioning it.
But look at, you know, Dan, are you getting unemployment right now?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
and,
I mean.
And I'd rather run out than let them do that, Social Security. You're stealing Social Security.
All right. Well, that's the problem. And some people, I got to applaud your principles. You're the one that's going to not have a check for unemployment. But, you know, I'm not willing. I guess I'm someone that's not willing to take that gamble with other people's lives.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of Social Security. That's even bigger than losing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to hope that's not what's going to happen. But at any rate,
That hopey change you're working out for you.
By the way, Julie Brown warned she could have warned Levi.
Look out!
Yeah.
That's right.
Miss me.
Everybody's friend.
Miss me again.
The ex-beauty queen's got a gun.
Oh, boy. Only that short.
Wow, are you lame.
The ex-beauty queen has got a gun.
Oh, if only that poor elk had an iPod and could have heard the Julie Brown song. God. Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. All right. Our Senator Lindsey Graham on the tax deal.
I think the president is acting unpresidential. He's got a political problem. He should be a leader. It is a good deal for the country. And at the end of the day, his criticism of our behavior lowers his stature.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah. See, he can't win.
Keep being nice, Obama. Don't you dare try to lower our stature.
Yeah. Mitch on McLipless.
Americans are counting on us. They've waited long enough.
How is it we can't win on anything? It seems like even when we win, we lose.
Yeah, these dopes. Seriously. By the way, let me get to the Texas stack for a minute. In targeting same-sex couples, Texas pastor's bill also robs firemen and foster children of health benefits.
What?
Last year, the El Paso, Texas City Council voted 7-1 to extend city employee health benefits to their domestic partners, including LGBT couples. While many celebrated the progressive move, the right-wing El Paso World of Life Church's pastor and self-advertised exorcist...
Oh, God.
Oh, good.
Tom Brown slammed the council for condoning immorality and giving a huge black eye to democracy, incensed over the idea. He spearheaded a ballot initiative to rescind these benefits, which passed this November by a 55% majority. But in his eagerness to rob gay and unmarried partners of their health benefits, his group quickly drew up the bill, wording on its own, because he couldn't find a lawyer by doing so.
Is that the way to drop
El Paso's retirees and public servants will now lose their health benefits on January 1st as well.
See,
never
go to a self-advertising exorcist. You want the ones with at least a Facebook page or a website.
There should be some sort of regulation.
I mean, a publicist, maybe.
While admitted he only intended to strip the 19 same-sex couples of their benefits, he says he has no regrets for doing what was right and that city officials have to respect the will of the public, that apparently firemen and foster children also can't play in their reindeer games.
God.
Because,
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Oh, God, I'm breaking more on Christmas. Uh-oh. News as well, because that's the important thing to you and your family this Christmas, not running out of money from your unemployment check. Jim Inhofe, you know, he's shot the first shot. He's not doing the parade in Tulsa because it's a holiday parade, not Christmas parade. Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Now, First Baptist Church of Dallas pastor, Texas stack again, Dr. Robert Jeffress joined the war effort. He announced that his church is launching a website, The Grinch Alert, dedicated to showcasing businesses that do not show outward signs of supporting Christmas.
Wow.
It says, have you encountered a Grinch this season? Share your experiences here at GrinchAlert.com. Here you can nominate businesses and organizations that shut out expressions of Christmas.
Huh.
Hi, my sweet little tot. All right. Santa Claus lied.
Dave in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
First of all, I think all of us as voters are guilty over the last couple decades of allowing both parties to spend us into oblivion. Our debt problem, you cannot put on just one party.
Dave, it depends on what you're spending for. If you're spending for unnecessary and illegal wars or tax cuts for the top 2%, it doesn't matter. Or if you're spending for stimulus and infrastructure, I can't.
Way to think in black and white, dude.
This is exactly the problem in 1937 when Roosevelt listened to people like him and he put the brakes on the New Deal, and the economy sank back into recession.
We need smarter people than him who can have nuance in their arguments and not just think in black and white. The world doesn't work in black and white.
Here's something to make us all happier to end the show. Balloon Boy is starting a boy band.
What?
Balloon Boy band.
Falcon Heaney, remember?
Oh, God, and that dad.
The seven-year-old, Balloon Boy. Who catapulted fame after an elaborate media hoax is reported to be forming a boy band alongside his two brothers. And you know how this is going to end? They're going to move next door to me. That's Falcon and his 11 and 9-year-old.
And their flying saucer.
Live right next door to me. Because I got bumped off TV for Balloon Boy, as you recall.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you got a
back.
Little bastards ruining my career. All right. Tomorrow, of course, Fridays with Bugle saying, I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Miranda Moreno. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.